Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious and loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for this next day of the FCM camp. And how wonderful it is that in this camp we can consider how we can trust thee in these uncertain times. And as we now, Lord, continue to look at thy precious word and to consider all thy sacred teachings, we pray, Father, that thy Holy Spirit would teach us and help us to behold wondrous things from out of thy word. It is thy people, O Lord, set their hearts upon thy truth. May they all also be richly blessed by thee. So we commit, Lord, all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. The book of Hebrews was written in order to assure a group of people whose hearts were flagging because they were facing very difficult times. As they confessed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the society around them became antagonistic to their confession. And thus they were persecuted, thus they were ostracized. Some were driven out by their families, and their loved ones even went to the extent of reporting them to the authorities so that they have to flee to places where you and I would not even dream of living, to caves, to dingy corners, and there they worship God, cut off very much from society. Others continue to stay in their cities or villages. However, as they make known publicly their faith, the society in which they belong to now decided that they were aliens. And so they did not allow them to buy or sell. And they found life extremely difficult. As they look at how things were boxing them in life, they became discouraged because they do not know what awaits them for tomorrow, or so they thought. So long as their eyes were not focused on the ground of their trust, which is God Himself, you realize that the times will always appear uncertain to them. They are but finite men. And so how can they know what will happen tomorrow? They are finite men. So how can they have perfect control over their lives? And so as time went by, some of them even thought of forsaking their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the book of Hebrews was written in order to rebuke, admonish, as well as to encourage this group of people. And you realize that this group of people are no different from us today. You all have already confessed how the events of this world have given you a sense that things are uncertain. The tariffs that have imposed by the United States of America and how these business rules can just change. Wars that are being waged and still further rumors of wars. And this on top of the difficulties that you face, coping with your exams, coping with your assignments, worries whether or not you can even find an internship. Because if you cannot find the internship by a certain time, you will probably fail the course. So all these anxieties make it so easy to fear. That's why you have to remember your ground of your trust. And what's the ground of your trust? Well, we covered that yesterday, right? For he is faithful, that promise. And you realize that the other two messages today, developed from this point, right? The ground that we trust, and after that, or rather the ground of our trust, the foundation of our trust. And in the next message, or in this message that we are having this morning, we are dealing with the content of our trust. And after that, we are going to talk about the persistence, the enduring quality of our trust. That would be the division of our study of this verse. And to restate it further, it would be, what are we confessing? And so you may be wondering, where did the word confessing or confession, right? What is our confession? What are we confessing come from? Well, this is taken from the word profession in verse 23, right? The word profession here is actually the word homologia. And homologia can also be rendered as a confession. The King James translators, right, chose to render it as profession because they want to impress upon our hearts that this confession is not just a mere confession from our lips. Neither is it just a confession on paper, but it is a confession of our faith that is seen in how we exercise our faith and trust in the one who is worthy of our trust, in the one who has promised and is faithful to his promises. That's why the word profession is used right here. We are making a profession of our faith. Now, by the way, I want to find out from all of you right here, how many of you in your Bibles right here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, the word faith here is rendered as hope. Every one of you here is faith? Anyone here is rendered as hope? Just to check. Yes, there's one, right? What translation? King James Version, right? Anyone else? Yes, right? Hope, there's one. I see my friend, the Deacon White Hope behind. Yeah, hope. Yeah, this is a recent issue that has crept into the certain King James translations, whereby the publishers took it upon themselves to change the rendering of the King James translation from faith to hope, reflecting the rendering in modern translations. And the reason why they did this is because, right, the word hope right here is faith rather, is translated from the Greek elpidos or elpis. Elpis or and they claim that this word elpidos or elpis means hope. And indeed, in the majority of the renderings of this word elpidos or elpis in the King James translation, you will realize that it is translated hope. So they say, some even went to the extent and said, wow, this is a mistake. It should be rendered a profession of our hope. So what do you think, right? Should it be hope or faith? Well, there's a good reason why the King James translators rendered it as faith. In fact, I would argue that the word faith here is a better rendering. And because when we make a confession, right, we not only make a confession of hope, right? When we talk about hope, we usually talk about the things to come, right? The things that has not yet happened, but we believe will come. But here, when a Christian makes a confession, it's not only about the things that will come, but it's also things that had already happened. And if you look carefully at what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 is talking about, right, it's actually talking about an exercise on faith in the ground of our hope, in the ground of our trust. And who is that? Right? It's none other than God himself. It's talking about exercise of faith. Moreover, the word homologia, right, when you talk about a confession, right, it involves what? You are actually confessing a certain set of beliefs, right? You're actually confessing a body of doctrine, which is oftentimes also termed as the objective faith. But of course, you not only confess, right, the objective faith and say, well, this is what I believe, but in your life, you also exercise your faith and trust in that body of doctrine. You actually live according to it. And that's why, you know, the word faith right here is a good rendering. It's a better rendering. You know, it's, in fact, a rendering that is in the context, right, of this particular epistle. Right? So the King James translators, they knew what they are doing. Right? You know, every word, right, its meaning must be according to the context. And moreover, you know, faith and hope, right, cannot be separated. Right? There is no hope without faith. Right? And they are very much connected. How do we know this? Well, because you take a look at the word hope, right, is from the word elpis. Right? Now, and then when we talk about the word faith, right, is this word, right, pistis. Right. Right. And so you can see this element right here, right? This pis, right, P-I-S, right? Right here, it shows how, right, these two words, they are actually related, right? And so, well, please take note, right? Especially some of you may be reading commentaries. Some of them may insist that the word hope there is correct, and then the word faith right here is a mistake. No, it's not a mistake. In fact, it is a better rendering and fully inconsistent with the theme that we are considering right here. Well, that is why we can have this theme: trusting God in uncertain times. Trusting. You're not just confessing a hope, right? We are confessing our faith. And confessing our faith in such a way whereby it's not just mere lip service, not just some mere words, right, written in a document, but there is this devotion to what we declare from our lips and from our hearts. So since you know that the way to go forward in this uncertain times is to trust in the one that is unchanging, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then what we should do is what? To firstly make sure that we confess him and to trust in him, to cling on to him, to not let him go. Right, that is the key right here. But then when we talk about confessing, there must be a content to what we are confessing, isn't it? And so what exactly are we supposed to confess? Well, if you look at the book of Hebrews and if you consider its content as a whole, you realize that this confession, right, firstly has to do with how the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the Savior of the world. And not just that, when you look at the book of Hebrews, it talks about how the Lord Jesus Christ is supreme, how the Lord Jesus Christ is better than all things, how the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. And the book of Hebrews would argue out the supremacy, the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ in this way. If you talk about Hebrews chapter 1 to 4, the writer of the book of Hebrews will argue that Jesus Christ, being the only begotten Son of God, is superior than all the angels. And that's point number one. That's from Hebrews chapter 1 to Hebrews chapter 4. Then from Hebrews chapter 5 to Hebrews chapter 10, it will argue that Jesus is superior than all the high priests. Superior than all the, yes, all the high priests and all the priests, right, of Israel. Superior than the Levitical priesthood. And so that will be from chapters 5 to 10. Right? The first argument will be to show very clearly how Jesus is the great high priest and how this office of the great high priest is superior to even the high priests of Israel. How this office of the great high priest is after the order of Melchizedek, right? Instead of after the order of Aaron. But not only just that, but the great high priest himself is the better sacrifice, better than all the animal sacrifice, or the animal sacrifices, right, which the children of Israel had offered in the past. Why? Because, well, all the sacrifices of these bulls and goats can never totally take away sin. But when you talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it cleanses us totally of our sin. So there's this confession that is being made about who the Lord Jesus Christ is and how there is nobody that is greater than the Savior. And then after that, not only just that, but then after that, you realize that in Hebrews chapter 11 to 14, that's where there is now this application of this confession, or rather, where the subjective element of this confession comes in. Hebrews chapter 11 begins with this saying, well, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then after that, you have the grand chapter of the Hall of Faith. Right? Look at how the saints of old have professed this faith, this trust in God. Even when times seem so difficult, even when times seem so perilous, seem so uncertain. And yet, because they have, they exercise, right, this faith, right, in God. And so therefore, there is this certainty in their ways. And they conduct themselves in a way that truly glorifies God. And so you realize that, you know, this confession also involves a walk of faith, right? There's a practical element to it. And this will be the content of the book of Hebrews from chapter 11, right, all the way to chapter 13, right, the end of the chapter, at the end of the book. So really, if you want to get the full picture of what exactly is this confession of faith right here, or profession of faith, as how the King James translators have rendered it, then it's good that every one of you engage yourself in a study of the book of Hebrews. Right? You really get a full sense of it. And why not just rendering as confession, but rendering it as profession? Well, because it not only involves doctrine, it not involves the objective faith, but it involves practice, right? The subjective faith. Right? So understand these things. So, dear friends, what exactly should we confess as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, of course, the easy answer is everything that is found in the book of Hebrews, we confess. But how about as God's people as a whole? How do we summarize what we should confess in this world, or what we should profess in this world? I do know one of the very practical things that a church has in order to express its profession of faith, right? To say that, yes, this is what we believe in and this is what we trust in as a church, is by the statement of faith, right, that every church ought to have. Well, I believe in churches in Singapore, they ought to have a constitution. And every church that have a constitution, by right, should have a statement of faith. Have you read the statement of faith that is of your church? Is there one for Calvary Pandan? Who here is from Calvary Pandan? Since FCM is the ministry of Calvary Pandan, so I ask the Pandan Knights first. Is there one? Yes? Do you all know where to find? Yeah, you guys can go to the church website. If not, Deacon Wai Ho is over there, my good friend. Yeah. And my senior too, and he can direct you where exactly to click on the website. And there is a constitution there, right? Calvary Pandan has a constitution all laid out, and there is, I believe, there should be one particular article that says statement of faith. Well, Tabernacle Bible Presbyterian Church also has it. Well, we also put our constitution online, and for us, it will be firstly Article 4. I believe Calvary Pandan usually is. Is it Article 5? I don't know. I remember usually for Pandan, it's usually plus one from us. Right? So you all have an article of doctrine. Go and read. Right? So, for example, allow me to read from Tabernacle's BP Church. Doctrine of faith, right? The doctrine of the church shall be in accordance with the system commonly called the Reformed faith, right? As expressed in the Confession of Faith, as set forth by the historic Westminster Assembly together with the larger and shorter catechisms. Right? So this is the first part of the article. And then as you go on, right, there will be more and more statements of what members of Tabernacle BP Church should actually confess or profess. Now, this is very important because some members don't even know what the church believes in. And that's why the Bible, basic Bible knowledge class, or some would call it catechism class of every church is very important. So that those who join as members of the church should know what exactly they confess. No, you say I trust in something, but what exactly do you trust? You don't even know. Then it is a big problem. Now, so, you know, for example, read for your article 4.2.7 of Tabernacle Baptist Church constitution that deals with doctrine. Here it says, we believe in the personal, visible and pre-millennial return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to judge this world and bring peace to the nations. So the word premillennial is found there, right? Premillennial return. Do you know why it's a premillennial return of Christ, dear friends? Well, one day there was a visitor who came to Tabernacle BB Church from another BB Church. Has been visiting for some time. And then one day he decided to talk with me. He says, how come Tabernacle BP Church is preaching on premillennialism? I said, well, this is what the church believes in. This is firstly what the scriptures teach. And this is what the church officially also declares. Say, is that true? I thought the Bible Presbyterian Church always declares amillennialism. Wow, I was shocked to the core. This man doesn't even know what the Bible Presbyterian Church declares as a confession of faith. After that, this man continued to talk about the books of the Bible with me, and then he talked about 1st and 2nd Peter, and you know what this man would say? He says that he does not believe that 1st and 2nd Peter was written by Peter, nor should it be included as part of the canon. From a Bible Presbyterian church in Singapore. That's why, dear friends, please know exactly what you are supposed to confess and trust in. Just because somebody come and say, oh, I am a Christian, does that mean that the person have the same confession as you? No. It's so easy to say that I'm a Christian. It's so easy to even say I am a Bible Presbyterian. I'm a FCMer. And so therefore, just because you're an FCMer means your confession is the same as your neighbor. Because one of the things of the word confession or profession right here is this understanding that this confession is a common confession. That's why it's homologia. Homo. Homo means what? Same. Common confession. And right here, if you look carefully at verse 23, the exhortation of the writer of the book of Hebrews is, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. There is also this emphasis on not just the individual, but the community. That means every one of you, firstly, must make sure you know what you are supposed to believe in. And after that, the whole community draw close together to be united in the content of what we trust in. When we talk about trusting God in uncertain times, you are not just talking about the individual that should trust God in uncertain times. It's also talking about how you all, as a body of believers, should band together and trust God in uncertain times, and also provoke one another to trust God together. And part of it means you better make sure, all of you better make sure that you know what you are supposed to believe in from the written word of God. It's the written word of God that talks about Jesus Christ, who is the living word of God, and it's the living word of God who gives us the written word of God. They cannot be divorced from one another. And so therefore, do you know the written word of God well? And do you know what you are even supposed to confess from the Bible? Therefore, you must never cease in the study of God's word. And it's the duty of everyone to continue in the study of God's word, so that you may know, firstly, yourself, what you should believe in, and secondly, you make sure that you do not divert yourself, or you are not different or divergent from what the believing community ought to hold on to, ought to trust in. But of course, knowing is just one thing. Knowing here in the head is one thing, because when we talk about a confession, it is supposed to be a confession from the heart. And so make sure that this is also really what you are convicted about. And when you are convicted about the truth, you realize that the truth, you realize that doctrine will always lead to practice. And then again, you know, what is very interesting in the BP Constitution is this. We not only have articles that talk about the doctrine of the church, we have articles that talk about the practice of the church. For example, I believe there are what is commonly found in every BP church, those like-minded, right here in FCM, there should be a document on the practice, principle and practice of biblical separation. In Tabernacle's constitution is Article 6, and then in Article 7, there is also a document on the main practices of the church. So you talk about doctrine, right? So yes, you have doctrine, and then when you trust in the doctrine, it will result in what? In a common practice too. What are these common practices? Like, for example, Article 7.1, right here from Tabernacle's constitution, you talk about the practice of baptism, and there it be declared very clearly, right? The observance of baptisms of believers is by sprinkling on personal confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Infants of one or both the believing parents are to be baptized. Right? So you have believers' baptism and you have infant baptism. And it's by sprinkling. Right? So all these are declared outright. Right. And then you have a practice of reaffirmation of faith. And then the Lord's Supper, fellowship and discipleship, a declaration on evangelism and missions. There is also a section on stewardship, right? How every member, right? So allow me to read this for you. Right? Every member shall have the responsibility and privilege to contribute his gifts, talents, times and resources to the work of God and the extension of his kingdom. All these things are found in the Constitution. This is a confession of faith, a profession of faith. Is this also your profession? You have those that wars into the church. Let me just sit in one corner. Don't touch me, okay? I don't believe that I have the responsibility and the privilege to contribute the spiritual gifts, the talents, the time, and the resources that God has given to me for the work of God and for the extension of the kingdom. Just leave me alone. And then when you question them, they may even say that, my time is precious, don't touch me. Is this therefore a common profession? So go back and read your church constitution if you can. Now, I know that Kauri Pandan and I know that Kauri Pandan and the Tabernacle have their constitution published online. Some of you, you may have to request from the church session. Right, it's openly declared on the church website. If you desire for the constitution, you can request from the church session. Go and request. And for True Life, I think, is in the 50th anniversary magazine. Go and go to the FEBC library and borrow. Right. So you must know, especially these sessions. You should know the whole constitution, of course, but these sessions, please go and read and see what we ought to profess. So I give you another example. Right here, right, is also written, right, in the practice of the church. Now, this is subjective faith, right? The normal practice of the Bible Presbyterian Church is to bury the dead. Christian funeral is to be conducted only for born-again believers. So there was one time I was engaged in the burial for a particular dear brother in Christ. Part of a BP church. After the burial was conducted, he came and made a statement to me, which after hearing, I did not know whether or not to feel happy or sad. It was quite bittersweet. Now, what did he say? He says, thank you for conducting the burial. This is the first time I'm witnessing a burial. I've not seen a burial before. I have only witnessed cremation. On one hand, I was happy that, you know, the witness of burial to this brother who had a loved one that went home to be with the Lord, or ministered peace and quiet to his heart. But on the other hand, I was greatly disturbed. How come it's the first time? And he says that the rest he witnessed was cremation. What exactly did he witness last time? And I hope that those cremations are not from other churches, because now it's a very common practice. But it's from in a BP church, I think my heart will sink. And sometimes when you go and find out why these things were done, they say they did not even know that the BP church is supposed to bury the dead. I mean, it is in ignorance. Sometimes when you know it's ignorance, you don't know whether to at least thank the Lord that it's ignorance, that it's not done willfully, or to be very sad that it. One is ignorant, because there are so many opportunities to study God's word. And moreover, we thank the Lord that in the BP church we have all these statements that are made. So you all should know all these things, right? You all must trust in these things. Study God's word. Know why these things are written this way, right? Read the constitution. Know why it's articulated this way in the constitution. The constitution is not above God's word, but God's word, right? But based upon God's word, I always understand this, right? Constitution not above God's word, but based upon God's word. Know why things are articulated this way in the Constitution, because of God's word. And then after that, be convicted about these things. Pray that the Holy Spirit will give you a conviction of these things, and then order your life aright according to these things. And that is where now, as an individual, you pray that as you go to school, as you deal with the things at work, deal with even the process of finding work. Some of you here, I know, are anxious about finding work, right? And yesterday I know there are at least two of you that they are about to graduate. You know, these anxieties may come in. Well, apply these principles from God's word into your life. And that must be the confession that you bear. Your testimony to the world. That you are living a life according to what is declared in God's precious word. Because when you do that, you are showing to the world the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. You all are uncertain because you do not know Christ. But I am certain. I know exactly what to do. I have a direction in life because this is what I believe in. And this is my confession. And this confession is what every Christian also ought to confess. And this is what I will continue to abide by the grace of God to the end of my time right here upon this earth. Let's pray. Most gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we thank thee, O Lord, for thy precious word which you have given to us. And indeed, Lord, we pray for the young people that as they, Lord, continue to grow in thy word, they will also grow in their knowledge of what they are supposed to confess. They're not supposed to confess the philosophies of the world, but they are supposed to confess the doctrines of the Bible. They are supposed to confess, O Lord, how the Lord Jesus Christ is such a wonderful Savior. And He alone is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man goeth to Thee, the Father, but through Him. And so, Father, Lord, help each and every one that is gathered right here today to understand their responsibilities on these things. And we pray that thy people, united in this truth and united in love, may go forth and bear a powerful testimony before the entire world of the beauty of Christ. So lead and guide us, O Lord, in these things. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.